Welcome to Fun with Scotch and Other Fine Spirits. I'm Judy.
I'm John.
I'm Marlis.
And I'm Bryn.
Today we're going to have... Cut this part out. Okay. Today is episode 76, and we're calling it, What the Heck is Sour Mash? Let me tell you.
Please.
The sour mash process is a fermentation technique used in most American whiskeys, especially bourbon and rye, to ensure consistency, stability, and flavor control. The sour mash processes use a spent mash from a previous distillation to stabilize fermentation, improve consistency, and define the clean, reliable flavor of American whiskey.
They use used mash or like past mash.
They use leftovers.
I love that.
Recycle.
So the step by step of how sour mash works. Mash is cooked. So grains, corn, rye, barley are cooked in water to convert starches into sugars. Backset is added. Backset are the leftovers, basically. A portion of spent mash from a previous distillation called backset is added to the fresh mash. The pH is lowered. It says the acidic backset lowers pH, creates an ideal environment for yeast, and inhibits unwanted bacteria. Or it could inhabit bacteria, depending on how good you are at it. And then the yeast is introduced. The yeast ferments sugars into alcohol in a more controlled, predictable way. And then after fermentation, the mash is distilled into new make spirit. And that's the way we have it. Sour mashes are the whiskeys we have today that were created with the sour mash process are Ancient Age, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey is what that is, Michter's Sour Mash, Original, and Jack Daniel's Old Number 7 Tennessee Sour Mash Whiskey.
Quality
Tennessee Sour Mash Whiskey.
We'll be the judges of that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, that's why we're usually here.
Yeah. Jack always does me right, honestly.
Yeah. So we want to thank Bryn for joining us today. Bryn is the youngest child of John and I.
Do you like my stubble?
Sorry.
No. Yes. It's lovely.
Not a problem.
Anyway. So Bryn is here for a visit for the holidays.
Happy holidays.
And please don't, judge us for how long after the holidays this gets online. So anyway.
I'm sure you all had a good time.
But Bryn was interested in talking about Old Number 7. So we found a couple of whiskeys that kind of sort of go along with it.
Yeah.
So John is going to start us off with some Ancient Age, which we have done in a previous episode or two. Actually, it was in our Beachapalooza from 2024.
Yeah, which was fairly confusing because there's so many people involved in those, and it's kind of hard to follow sometimes.
A podcast with, like 12 people?
It's good fun. Yeah. So anyway, Ancient Age. Ancient Age is produced at the Buffalo Trace Distillery in Frankfort, Kentucky, but it isn't owned by Buffalo Trace.
It isn't.
That's what it says. Yeah. The Ancient Age brand is owned by Age International, a company that was acquired by Takara Shuzo Company, a Japanese spirits and sake producer. On the nose, the aroma is supposed to have sweet corn and caramel,
smells
vanilla and toffee, and light oak and subtle spice notes.
What do you think, Bryn?
Like I said earlier about something else, I smell it all. Now that you've said it, I wouldn't have picked it out myself. But I suppose that's because I'm not a professional whiskey taster.
Neither are we.
You know what? Yeah,
That's often the case for me, too.
It's often the case for me that sometimes all I can tell initially is that it's sweet, but as people float different flavors or aromas, they start talking about different things. Sometimes it'll trigger in my head, and I can identify that, that's what that is.
And there's a little bit, alcohol, a little slight scorching of the nose, but not unwieldy or not overpowering.
Yeah, it's not. It's not obnoxious. Yeah.
It's similar to like coffee tasting. Like I can pick out things in coffee, but like not in whiskey because there's so many other things in here that I'm not used to tasting. You know.
Sure. Sure. And you,
sorry, Jack, the cat keeps jumping on our table. Sorry.
Yeah. You'll hear clicking and people gasping as animals try and leap across the table and such. So, forgive us for that.
Yeah. But I was also going to say, Bryn is a coffee roaster. So does do some coffee tasting in their, profession.
Yes.
Yes.
We should do it more, but anyway.
Sorry. Go. Okay, so the nose, it does smell sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you can also smell a little bit of cinnamon.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say cinnamon, too. Is that on there? Did you say that already, Dad?
No, it doesn't list that, but yeah.
I was smelling cinnamon, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Too. What should we? Damn.
It was all that. Right. We have cheese on the table. This is the problem, so.
Oh, that could be. Maybe I should move the cheese.
I'll move the cheese. Okay.
I guess we can't really crunch on it while we're recording anyway.
No.
Yeah, probably not. Yeah. So, anyway, on the palate, it says it's corn-forward sweetness with honey and vanilla, light caramel and toffee flavors, gentle spice, a touch of rye heat on the mid-palate.
Mm-hmm.
And some reviewers also note hints of fruit, like pear or cherry, and mild baking spices, depending on the pour.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of a burn in there. Not off-putting. It is sweet. Yeah, it's not. Well, I was looking, you know, for stuff on this. The reviewers were not particularly kind. Some of them.
I know, but I and John, I really like Ancient Age.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a little almost like herbal in the back, in the finish.
Mm. Yeah, what does it say about the finish, John?
Oh, sorry.
Oh, well. you went ahead.
Yeah, well, the mouthfeel, it says, is medium light body and smooth and easygoing, though some find it a bit thin or simple, especially at 80 proof. I don't find that to be true.
Well, it's not. I mean, it does have legs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got legs.
The finish is short to medium. Mm-hmm. Sweet oak and vanilla linger. Subtle warmth with a mild spice finish, not overly bold. And I'd go along with most of that. I definitely tasted what reminded me of rye.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely tasted some of the corn and the toffee or caramel, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I definitely was getting a lot of that.
Mm. Yeah, after the finish for me is a little, it gets more into the kind of oak or char or tannin, you know, kind of that underlying bit that is a little, it's not bitter, but it's just, that's the part of the taste that stays with me in the finish.
Yeah.
Overall, tasty. Not, would this be your extra, extra special bourbon? Maybe not.
No, but it's not extra.
It's a
special.
Very nice, you know.
This is, Buffalo Trace also does Blanton's.
Oh.
And this is actually, I guess you could say a poor man's Blanton's.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Define poor. How much does this bottle cost?
I don't know, John. How much?
This was about $17 and change.
Okay, that's actually not bad.
So it's typically found on the bottom shelf.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually very good for the price. I mean, it's excellent for the price point. I would drink this anytime.
And we have.
It's quite.
Yeah.
I know.
That's true, yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good bourbon.
It's supposed to have the same mash bill as Blanton's, which we're not featuring tonight, but.
But we could.
Well, we could.
Because
yeah.
we have
it,
some.
But we aren't going to give it to you.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, it's good stuff.
Okay. Now we have Michter's Sour Mash Whiskey. Can someone see what's the ABV on that?
ABV, 43%.
43%. Okay, so this is a slightly higher ABV then, so we're going to wonder. The Michter's Distillery, they trace the origins to 1753 when a Swiss Mennonite farmer named John Schenck founded a distillery in Pennsylvania.
This surprises me, just saying.
That he's Mennonite?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool last name, though.
Yeah. It was known originally as Schenck's Distillery. Yeah. And it's often cited as America's oldest distilling site. Then, of course,
they all say that.
I know.
That's exactly what it says.
Then it changed hands several times, went bankrupt, closed, opened, da 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 da. This is the story with many distilleries.
The old story of distilleries, yes.
Yeah. But in the early, in the 1990s, entrepreneurs Joseph Magliocco, please forgive me for, you know,
I don't think Joseph is going to be listening to this.
Thank God, yeah. And Richard Newman acquired the Michter's trademark. They relocated to Kentucky and rebuilt the brand from the ground up. And I've had several Michters, all of which I've really liked, so I'm kind of looking forward to this. I haven't had the sour mash before. They don't publicly disclose the exact grain percentages in the sour mash, but since they don't say it's a bourbon, you can guess that there is less than 51% corn in it, because otherwise it would be a bourbon. But they say it is corn-based. It is. It does also have rye and malted barley. They use new charred oak. It's distilled and aged like bourbon, but intentionally avoids the bourbon ratio. Label, not ratio. There is no bourbon ratio. Well, I suppose there 51%. Yes. Okay. Anyway, they don't do either of those. So,
yeah. So there. Yeah.
Good to go.
Okay. So for the nose, you should get caramel and toasted corn, vanilla bean and light butterscotch, soft baking spices, nutmeg and cinnamon. Ooh, this smells good.
I get Band-Aids.
You get Band-Aids?
She gets, yeah. And orange peel and toasted oak.
And this isn't even on your list at all, but as the first time I smelled it, I was like, maple.
Yeah.
Full
yeah,
maple.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I can also see
it's
how
got
it would
that
be
kind
like
of sweetness to it, though, you know.
Spices, yeah.
And hints of orange peel and toasted oak. I don't know if I said that. Anyway, it smells lovely.
It does smell really good. It
smells like lovely Band-Aids. Mm-hmm. You know, like maybe a great Superman one.
Yeah.
SpongeBob.
Or SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Really good Band-Aid.
Depends on your, yeah, well, anyway.
I'm not kidding. Thanks.
Yeah. And I don't get a lot of alcohol in it. There's no burn to the aroma of the palate. No. Okay, right. So for the palate, sweet caramel and coffee, toffee up front, not coffee, toffee up front.
Brin's like, darn. It.
Honeyed grain and vanilla cream.
You mean honey-eyed?
Don't start. Okay. Gentle spice, white pepper and clove. See, I've put white pepper in something, I can't pick it out from other
black
peppers.
Pepper?
Yeah. And subtle oak char with a taste of dried fruit.
Okay.
No, it does not taste like Band-Aids. Just letting everybody know.
Mm-mm. This is also tasty.
Mm. Britain.
Well,
any comments?
I noticed it leaving a pleasant spice like on my tongue though, as opposed to burning. It's like a little warm in the chest, but also leaves like a kind of a sizzle on my tongue for a little bit, which I enjoy.
Yeah,
this would be good if you've got had congestion.
Yeah. Oh. Heat it up a little bit.
Heat it up.
Bob's your uncle.
Bob's your uncle.
Actually, as they it's say. Grandfather, but...
Yeah, true. That's true. That is true. Bob's your grandpa.
Bob's your grandpa.
This is
sound right.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound right.
I really like this one.
There's very little alcohol burn. You know, maybe a little bit of sizzle at the end, like
it's
you said.
Smooth.
Yeah.
It's
not
lots of lovely, mellow tastes. This is the brand where, when we did the rye, this was one of my favorite of the rye.
The Michter rye,
yeah. And I'm not a big rye fan, so, you know, it's if they make a rye I like, that's...
That says something.
That says something.
What is the price point of the Michters, John? Do you remember? And John bought these at the the liquor gun range. The liquor store gun range downtown.
Yes, and if you are a member of the gun range, you get 10% off of on the price of the liquor. So there's that. That's also a bonus.
What a perk.
Oh.
Yeah, but they don't let you go in the gun range if you've been drinking. So that's a good thing.
That was my next question.
Yeah.
You're only allowed to drink after.
They have to
come
be,
in, buy liquor,
don't
leave,
shoot,
come
and
back
drink.
10 minutes later.
No, they're very strict about that.
Okay.
But yeah.
Anyway. Here's an interesting thing. They said for the mouthfeel, it's medium-bodied and creamy, and I think that's true.
Yeah.
Silky with controlled warmth, very polished, easy sipping. Yes, you could get into a lot of trouble with this because sip,
true.
Sip, sip. especially if you're talking and la 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 la, and then pretty soon,
yeah,
it's all good. It's like that best friend that your parents think is a bad influence, and then you just keep going back.
Yeah,
I don't know. Did you say how much it was? And I forgot.
Not yet. No. I think it was about $60 to $65, if I remember correctly.
Money well spent, though.
Yeah. How I'm big bottle? $750.
$750. I think they're all regular size.
Very tasty. So finish. Medium length, sweet oak, vanilla, light spice, drying gently at the end.
Okay.
And encouraging another sip. Yes, there's your problem right there. Yeah.
It sure does.
Oh, yeah. It is tasty, though. Okay. So both of these are good. One of them is more of a daily or a mixing bourbon. Michter's is more of a sipping kind of, but you can see yourself out on a Sunday afternoon sitting on the back porch.
Taking many sips.
Talking to people, sipping many, many sips. Yes.
Don't even
need a
glass.
And if you're some guy in Kentucky, you're probably smoking a cigar at the same time.
Yeah. Problem.
Wow. Could be.
See, that would interfere with the flavor, I would think.
I still
but,
do.
But I'm not a guy in Kentucky,
they enhance
so.
Each other, maybe.
Depending.
No.
I'm just thinking about when you put cream or milk in your coffee. No, some people are like, boo, but it honestly brings out totally different flavors.
That's what I feel.
It does.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe it's the same with cigars.
That could be.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Depending on
I just think they're icky.
You're going to taste them.
Yeah, I don't like cigars either. Made myself.
Okay. Brynny Bryn, your turn.
Give me one mom.
Okay.
I've got a little fire in my chest. I think they call that heartburn.
Could be.
Yeah.
You've had like three sips. What?
Excuse me. I don't know. Okay.
Okay.
So, Jack Daniel's Old Number 7.
Yeah.
So.
Sounds like you have a long acquaintance with Old Jack.
Old Jack. Not really.
You did
honestly.
Ask for it specifically.
No, I did ask for it specifically. Mm-hmm. I thought, I don't know anything about whiskey, and I was just drinking Jack Daniel's with some Dr. Pepper the other day. Why don't I go for that? Well, when you don't have Coca-Cola and Dr. Pepper is your favorite, what are you going to do?
I'm having a panic attack.
What
a friend of mine drinks Dr. Pepper, and she left some in my refrigerator. I poured it out because I was just like,
There's a TV show on Netflix. It had, was it Martin Sheen?
No. It wasn't Martin Sheen. It was, Crud.
He played an acting instructor, and he would go to this restaurant, and they just automatically bring out this tray that had Dr. Pepper, and was it Jack Daniel's?
It was Jack Daniel's.
Yeah. I can't remember the name of the show. Continue, and I will look for the...
Okay,
I'm going to do my best. So the Jack Daniel's distillery is located in Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jasper Newton Jack Daniel learned whiskey making as a young boy from Dan Call, a preacher and distiller, and Nathan Nearest Green, an enslaved man recognized today as Jack's mentor and the master distiller who taught him key techniques. I love this fact. I was looking up stuff about Jack Daniel's yesterday in slight preparation, and I read that and I was like, okay, I wonder how many people know that. Yeah. I hope everyone
I've read
knows.
It before.
Our four listeners will know now.
I
know.
Good. Yes. All four of you better take that and keep that locked in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
What was did they have the person's name?
Yeah, his name was Nathan Green, but he went by Nearest Green.
Okay.
Love that name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's neat.
He pretty much taught Jack what he knows, what knew about distilling. And so Jack officially registered his distillery in 1866, making it one of the oldest registered distilleries in the United States.
Registered.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
also,
distilling
site.
I know, they all want to be the oldest.
Jack forgot. Oh, speaking of Jack.
Jack, this is Jack.
This is Jack the cat, however.
We'll have to post his picture.
Yes.
When we put this up on Instagram, I will have to post Jack's picture in honor of Jack Daniel.
A black cat, much like the label on the whiskey bottle.
There you go.
And he's starting to get a little bit of white fur here.
How old is he now? 12?
Number 15. 14?
He is 16.
16. Yeah, okay, so he's Jack number 16.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or old Jack number 16.
Yeah, all right.
Or just
definitely
old Jack.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
Okay. Jack Daniel's uses the Lincoln County process. Before aging, the new spirit is slowly filtered through 10 feet of sugar maple charcoal.
Oh.
Wow, this mellows the whiskey. Jesus. Pardon me.
There's Jack again.
No, it was Jack, not Jesus.
Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's important to make that distinction. Yeah.
Okay. where was I? Before aging, the new spirit slowly filtered through 10 feet of sugar maple charcoal.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. This mellows the whiskey and gives Tennessee whiskey its signature smoothness.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Daniel died in 1911, reportedly after injuring his foot, kicking a safe he couldn't open.
Well, he needs a little lesson in impulse control.
And yes. Also, how did that kill him?
In anger management. He probably got infected.
Septicemia.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, yeah, it was 1911, yeah. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. Old number 7 is the original Jack Daniel's Tennessee whiskey. I don't know why I stuttered there. Though Jack Daniel's uses the sour mash process, it isn't called a sour mash whiskey because... Thank you. Sour mash is a fermentation method, not a category.
Oh.
Bourbon-style mash bill is... greater than or equal to 51% corn.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Tennessee whiskey is defined by these things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I didn't say that part, did I?
Mm-mm.
Okay, run that back.
All right.
Tennessee whiskey is defined by bourbon-style mash bill, which is greater than or equal to 51% corn, new charred oak barrels,
mm-hmm.
and Lincoln County process, so charcoal mellowing before aging.
That's, I did not know that that was part of the process. This is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always thought they were just being fussy and didn't want to call it bourbon, but evidently it was more than that.
It's more than that.
There's a whole story.
There's a whole background. I should know that. Yeah.
The charcoal mellowing step is what legally and stylistically separates Jack Daniel's from bourbon, not the sour mash.
Mm-hmm.
This is me. Yeah. This particular thing,
This particular thing.
Judy is helping.
I'm a mother. What do you want?
Yeah. She's helping me with my homework. And so it is made from... Just kidding. Jack Daniel's Old Number 7 is made from 80% corn, 12% malted barley, and 8% rye.
Gotta get that rye in there somehow.
No one knows for sure why it's called Old Number 7, but let me tell you some theories. I love them.
Mm-hmm.
Number 1. These are in no particular order, but the first one is, it may have been Jack Daniel's original distillery registration number, which makes sense because it's one of the first registered distilleries.
Yeah, so it would have been number 7, yeah.
That's awesome. I hope maybe it is that.
Mm-hmm.
Or a railroad shipping code.
That's boring. We don't like that one.
That's boring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, trains are cool. moving on. Okay, maybe Jack Daniel's 7th recipe attempt, perhaps.
Could be, yeah.
And last but not least, and honestly my favorite, because I don't even know what it means, one legend claims that it honored 7 girlfriends.
Uh-huh.
So were they all at the same time? Well, was it all past girlfriends?
More than likely, all the same
more
time.
More than likely, yes. More than likely.
Well, or there could be a mix of some serial and some contiguous. Not contiguous. Not consecutive. Oh, hell. Words escape me. Words are hard. Okay.
Yeah.
We all know what she means, I think.
Simultaneous.
Yeah. That's it.
There we go.
Yay, John.
Love it.
I need about 3 people to help me speak these days.
All right. Well, luckily...
I know.
You have them here.
Yeah. I need that.
Good thing we had Bryn here.
I was just over here laughing. I wasn't even... I know.
Okay.
Okay. So, finally to the... notes.
Mm-hmm.
The nose, it says, is going to give you some sweet banana bread and vanilla. Caramel corn and light brown sugar, soft charcoal smoke. I definitely get that. And a subtle toasted oak.
I get the oak.
What was that before the caramel corn? The banana bread. Yes.
Banana bread and vanilla.
Yeah.
I got the banana bread. That was, once you said it, that's it was like, oh, there it is. Yeah.
Brown sugar, I get. Mm-hmm. Charcoal, I get. Mm-hmm. Totally. Okay. The corn, somehow, even though it's like all corn virtually, I don't get the corn flavor in these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not tasting corn, but
well,
that's maybe
have
a good thing.
On it.
Right.
Mm.
Real.
Mm. And what's the palate? What are we supposed to be tasting?
Right, I forgot. Palate. The palate is going to be given sweet corn and caramel, ripe banana, toffee, and vanilla cream. So similar to the nose. Mild spice from rye, so such as white pepper, cinnamon, and such. And charcoal and oak balance the sweetness without overpowering. And that's a fact.
I was at one tasting at a distillery, and the person said, okay, now the first sip, you always get the alcohol first. You know, that's what kind of hits you. It's with the second sip that you start getting the flavors. And I think that's true. The first sip is kind of like, oh, does this assault me or not?
Yeah.
You know, and then after that, it's like, oh, look at all the pretty colors, or I mean, flavors in this case. But
I think I'm getting more, weirdly, it's only 8% rye, and I feel like I can taste more rye than I can taste anything else.
Yeah, whereas for me, the rye is kind of just blended in there nicely. There's a little... I always think of rye as, you know, the corn is like, hello, I am corn. I am an assertive grain and yet, you know, genteel. Whereas rye is like, hi, how you doing? I'm rye.
Oh, wow.
You know,
I feel like I know a lot of people named rye.
Smack. Yeah, exactly, exactly. Rye is a New York cabbie, you know, with a heart of gold, still, yeah.
So I never knew that you could do imitations of grains.
it's a little known skill.
You should do it. You should take it on the road. On the road.
Very small road, perhaps an alley. You know,
Go stand on a corner with a hat out and just do downtown Olympia.
I will imitate your favorite whiskey.
I bet you if you put out a hat grain. Or something and stood there and just.
No.
Impressions of different grains.
Yeah.
People would put
they
money
would get
in
me
it.
For drinking in public because I couldn't do it sober. Oh, God knows. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, not if you have it in a paper bag. That's not open.
Pro tip.
That's not an open container. You can't see it. Nice.
Okay.
And Olympia, I don't know that they would get you for public intoxication.
Probably not.
VR, but,
as long as I kept it together somewhat. Yeah, I know. Oh, this is fun. This is good.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
So the mouthfeel. It says smooth and slightly oily. Gentle warmth, not aggressive. I might disagree with that.
You think it's a little
aggressive. I think it's a little aggressive for me. Scabby? But, and yet still I choose it. So.
Did you say scabby?
Stabby?
Oh, scabby.
Yeah.
Well, that's better than scabby.
Yeah.
That would be.
That would be rude.
Sorry.
And it says the easy drinking texture is designed for a broad appeal, which must be part of why it's so dang popular.
Again, you could mix this, but this is a nice sipping whiskey, especially bourbons. For some reason, I think of in the summer sitting on the back porch or your back steps.
You're always sitting on the porch.
I know. And I don't even have a porch. I have a patio, but I could sit on the patio in my chair.
Thank you. Be completely honest.
Ray was about to feel sorry for you because you didn't have a porch.
Well, I was.
I always love these houses with the expansive front porches where you can have swings and rocking chairs. And then it's like, well, I would never sit out there because then I'd have to talk to my neighbors.
Absolutely.
You can have one in the back.
I don't want just people wandering by talking to me. I am not Southern, obviously. Yeah. Sorry.
You can have one put on the back of your house.
Yes, that would be good.
Nobody would see you.
Well, you know, squirrels, rabbits. Cats, dogs, that would be fine. I would live with that very happily, but yeah.
Not your neighbors.
No.
Oh. I'm lucky I have a back.
Occasionally you could shout over the fence. That would be fine. Yeah. Okay, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to taste the Jack Daniels just for mouthfeel, and then I'm going to taste the Michter's and see...
The Michter's.
Which.
I haven't done the finish yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, everybody stop.
Everybody stop.
Okay.
So what you doing?
Okay.
What's the finish?
More.
So
finish.
What?
I keep
making more.
Yeah, because
noise.
I can't check the finish here until.
Oh, you're right.
Apparently, John
ran out of Jack.
You already done did the finish. So it says medium short finish with a sweet oak and lingering vanilla, and some faint charcoal dryness at the very end. I feel like that all rings true.
This is interesting because one of the things I like in wine, red wine especially, is I like a nice base of tannins. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of bite that gets you. Mm-hmm. And this is the balance. That balance is the sweeter fruit. Mm-hmm. And this is the kind of thing, you know, you want that, a little bit of charcoal and oak at the end to mm-hmm. give it some muscle. Otherwise, okay, it's just kind of flabby.
Yeah, I could see that. Mm-hmm. Totally. It, like, kind of carries it at the end.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Okay, so now I'm doing my comparison.
Yes.
What was that comparing?
I don't know.
Well, Jack and...
And Michter's.
Michter's.
Yeah. Okay, well...
That's the middle one?
Yeah. Mm. Okay. I think on balance, the Michter's is a little sweeter, mm-hmm. a little more. Do I want to say full bodied or a little more voluptuous?
The mouthfeel is like maybe a little yes. more. What's the word?
Creamy, kind of
creamy. I'm thinking. It makes me think of glycerin, like how it's just a little thicker.
Yeah. But they both taste very tasty. Mm-hmm. I would not refuse either of these or the Ancient Age, frankly. But the Michter's and the Jack Daniel's are probably my favorites of the three. I would give a slight edge to the Michter's just because that's, you know, my particular taste. But mm-hmm. they are both tasty as all get out.
And what was the price point on the Jack Daniels, yeah. John?
What was that?
I want to say it was around $30, something like that. I could mm-hmm. be wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm just going by memory, and it's been a few days since I bought these.
Oh, mm-hmm. John's going by memory.
Yeah, well, I have a few none, days. So out. There you go.
Memories. You know. Okay, I don't know any of the
But
other
I know
girls,
the ancient so. Age. I don't know if around it's the same 17. Song.
I was going to say All Alone in the Moonlight.
Yeah, I think the cat singing Grisabella, the glamour cat. Yeah.
I know you didn't get this at Total Wine. You got it at Tea Brothers, but it is $35 if you get.
Yeah.
Wait, no, that's the 1.75.
It's $17.50. Okay.
At Total Wine.
Okay. So you got two very affordable sour mashes, and one that's a little more pricey. Mm-hmm. Of the two affordable ones, of the Ancient Age and the Jack Daniels, I kind of like the Jack Daniels better, but either perfectly acceptable for a daily or a mixer.
Well, I would go with Ancient Age for the two affordables.
Really? Oh, okay.
I think of all of them, I kind of like the Michter's, I think, overall the best. What about you,
Brent? I think I do, too. I think I like the Michter's the best, but I wouldn't want to use it for... Like, this isn't something I would use for mixing mm-hmm. with other things. I would mix the Jack Daniels with things. Pretty mm-hmm. classic move. Mm-hmm. But the Michter's I like as just sipping. For sipping.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I like it a lot. I think it's also, like, got a little more, more sweetness and a little more going on in the flavor that makes me not want to mix it with something else because it might be too busy. Mm-hmm. But the Jack Daniels is a little, I don't know, just easier to, cut through whatever you're putting it in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, three lovely whiskeys of various sorts, and, you know, do some tasting of your own and see what you like.
Ooh.
Because as they say, and this is the Whiskey Tribe, the Whiskey Vault, those guys, anyway, the best whiskey is the one you can afford.
Is that the one you're trying to remember in the last set? 72?
No.
I'm sorry.
Another, they live on the YouTube.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh. But the best whiskey is the one you like and that you can afford. And the best way to drink it is the way you like it. Mm-hmm. So.
Agreed. Yeah.
That's, there we are. Yeah.
And that's where we're at now.
I have made my pronouncement.
You have done that.
As I often do. Yes. Sorry.
All right. Well, I guess that basically concludes our special holiday edition of Fun with Scotch and Other Fine Spirits. If you have any comments on our little episode,
soirée du whisky.
Yeah. If you go listen to this or go to our website, you can actually leave a comment, and one day I will read it. I forget to check, but we will comment back, or you can email us at funwithscotch@gmail.com.
Yeah, the website is fwspc.com. So you can look there too.
Which I am guessing stands for Fun with Spirits Podcast.
No, Fun with Scotch.
Sorry. Shoot. Edit that out.
I know.
I said don't listen.
Fail.
Don't listen to me.
I know.
Abort.
Our child doesn't know.
I don't know what I'm saying half the time.
That's okay.
You take after your father.
Y'all don't know.
It's crazy.
I'm bad.
So anyway,
But thanks, Bryn, for joining us in this.
Yeah, no kidding.
Thank you for having me.
It was nice.
I had fun.
It's been wonderful. Yeah. I actually think Bryn's better at this than me, so I think you should just have Bryn as your third person.
Better at this than you. You know.
But whenever we're yupping. What are we yupping about?
What is yupping?
What is yupping?
And kind of went awry there for him, but an awry was involved. Okay. Whenever you're up this way, we will do a podcast. How's that?
I would love that.
That would be really fun. Okay. Bryn lives in Oakland, so, you know, not always available. Yeah.
Almost never.
Mm-hmm.
Almost never. Actually, I have there's a spirits store and a liquor store down in San Francisco that I like to order from because they have a lot of interesting.
Well, you'll just have to make your first trip down in 6 years to come get something.
Been down there 6 years.
Amazing. Yeah.
I'm not actually mad about it, but yes, I've been there for 6 years, which is crazy.
We are. Yes.
Well, it's hard to travel when you have three dogs and three cats. Yes, two of them are yours.
Yeah. They're yours now.
Let's not revisit the cat ownership problem.
Is it a problem?
And they
is it a
like them.
Has it been a problem?
Well, the first year Tommy did cost us like $5,000.
Well, he would have if I kept him too.
Well, that's true.
Good point.
Tommy still would have cost me $5,000. But that's okay.
Sorry.
No,
sorry.
Yeah.
That's
funny, though.
And they like me better than you now, so.
They probably like you better than they ever liked living with me anyway, because I had like I got a dog in the middle of it. She just kind of messed with them too much. And also, I was just like some like kid. I was like having punk shows in the house.
Yeah, there was the band stuff going on.
It was very chaotic.
It was too chaotic
for cats. They weren't in the room. They were upstairs when the bands were playing, but it doesn't matter. It was probably way too
chaotic. Yeah, it was like really loud
cat,
for them.
Cats are the world's conservatives in terms of their living arrangements, you know?
Yeah.
But we've enjoyed having having Tommy and Phoebe in our home.
I'm glad. I hope so.
I thought you were going to say Bryn, and I was like, yes,
we enjoy having Bryn in our home as well. But we were talking about
Here
the cats.
Here's to you, my dear.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for joining us in our, as usual, chaotic and I can't think of the word.
Fun.
That wasn't the word I was thinking of.
That's okay.
Crazy.
You know, meandering.
Yeah, that too.
Show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So go out and drink some whiskey. Find what you like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See,
Does Bryn want to plug their band, their previous bands?
Oh God.
No.
The bands that I was in, like 8 years ago.
8 years ago. Yeah.
You can still find them on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
Or a couple of them, anyway.
I will, because you want me to. I was in a band called Slouch from Olympia, Slouch. You can find our Bandcamp at sloucholympia.com/bandcamp.com, excuse me. And we're also on Spotify. Our EP is called Toxic Bitch. Bleep it if you need to. And then I was in a band called Shame for a little bit, and we have only a Bandcamp, shameolympia.bandcamp.com. And
Crude Thought.
Crude Thought doesn't.
Okay, we won't talk about that.
It's fine. Well, we have a demo on YouTube. Mm-hmm. You can find Crude Thought from Olympia.
That was the first band.
That was my first band when I was 17.
And what style of music is that?
It's all different types of sub-genres
of punk and hardcore, I guess.
Yeah.
Some of it's noisy, some of it's very like. I think maybe Slouch would be a little on the, like, grungier punk side, at least adjacent. There's some noisy stuff in the other bands. Yeah. Just some fun stuff I did.
And just and only a mother's opinion, I like Slouch better than all of them.
Great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite one.
Thanks.
Cool.
I like Slouch better than Bikini Bill.
Bikini Bill!
Bikini Kill. Tell me
Bikini
I'm wrong.
Bill.
Yeah.
We're talking about mash bills. I'm sorry.
We're going to talk about honey-eyed bears in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
What's in that bikini bill anyway?
Okay, let's...
Yeah, okay.
And we're cut.